Welcome to The Week That Was, a look back at the past 7 days on site. I'm David Adams, the editor of Site Magazine, and our coverage this week included how US seminaries are partnering with prisons to offer inmates new lives as ministers, a look at commemorations surrounding the end of World War I, and a US activist talks about racism within the church. But first to a story on orphan trafficking. We ran a piece this week on growing calls to stop the exploitation of children in orphanages in developing countries, where, despite the fact that many still have families, they can be lured into orphanages through promises of an education. But the promised educational opportunities may not exist, and children may find themselves simply being used to attract donations to the institution in which they're housed. A conference in London heard this week that an estimated 80% of the 8 million children living in orphanages worldwide are not actually orphans. It was also told of the work of organisations like Forget Me Not, founded by Australian lawyer Kate Van Dorr, and Lumos, founded by Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling, to address the issue. Australia has become the first country in the world to recognise orphanage tourism as a form of slavery. To the US, and we ran a story this week on how evangelical seminaries there are partnering with prisons to offer the chance for inmates to obtain degrees, providing the inmates then become field ministers to their fellow inmates, serving as counsellors, prayer leaders, prison chaplain assistants, and generally being a calming influence in the prison yards. Data shows that the inmates who get an education have a far lower incidence of repeating criminal behaviour, but that of the 1.5 million people currently in US prisons, only a tiny percentage can afford a college degree while behind bars. Evangelical seminaries there are stepping into the gap, and inmates spoken to in the story talk about the new purpose and direction they've found as a result of taking part in such programs. But the schemes aren't without controversy, with some scholars raising questions over whether prisons are using such systems to outsource rehabilitation to religious volunteers, and whether such programs privilege one faith above others. Last weekend, meanwhile, saw commemorations surrounding the end of World War I, and Site ran a number of pieces surrounding the events. These included a look at the history of Armistice Day and how the event is commemorated in different parts of the world. We also ran a piece calling for Australia's conscientious objectors to be remembered, noting that there were already permanent tributes to them in London and in the US, but not in Australia, where almost 30,000 prosecutions of conscientious objectors were launched in the early months of the war. And we ran a story looking at how the war was connected to the creation of the US Catholic Bishops' Conference. Still in the US, and we ran an article this week from Jamar Tisby, president of The Witness, a black Christian collective, in which he tackled the issue of racism within the church. Tisby says that while he's still personally healing from wounds that he's accrued over years of writing, speaking and teaching about racism and injustice, no matter how discouraging the racial conditions in the church become, bitterness, he says, is not a healthy option. He also describes the church as a beautiful bulwark against bitterness, saying that while the bigotry of individual Christians and institutions may bend us that way, the beauty of God's of Christ's bride hearkens us back to hope. In other news this week, in Niger, there are again calls for the release of American Christian aid worker Jeff Woodkey, who was abducted by unknown assailants in the country 2 years ago. In Pakistan, Christians remain wary as offers to grant asylum to Asia Bibi, the Christian mother of five acquitted of blasphemy recently, roll in. In Australia, the Australian Christian Lobby has expressed concern over the culture of death in the state of Queensland when inquiry into new assisted suicide laws was announced. In Kenya, a Pentecostal pastor's refusal to marry a young couple until they complied with his demand that they be tested for HIV has sparked debate. And in Lebanon, there are hopes that the families of thousands who went missing during its 15-year civil war might find closure with the announcement of a new commission to find out what happened to them. Our essays this week included a call for America to hold a national inquiry into clergy sexual abuse, similar to Australia's recent Royal Commission into Institutionalised Responses to Child Sex Abuse, and a response to talk of a schism in the Roman Catholic Church. In our columns, there's a sightseeing piece on birds and the Bible in honour of this year being the Year of the Bird. There's a look at how refugees in the UK are celebrating their journeys on stage. And in Strange Sights, the answer to the question of how many people are still watching black and white TV in Britain. It may be bigger than you think. We also have a review of Hugh Mackay's book in addressing social issues in Australia and how to remedy them, a lifestyle piece on Stan Lee and Marvel Comics following news of the death of the comic legend this week at the age of 95, and in 2020 we have Outreach Media's November poster. This month it's about putting your mind at rest by asking for God's forgiveness. That's, of course, just some of what happened on site this week. Remember, you can keep up to date with all that's happening by subscribing to our free site daily or site weekly emails, and you can, of course, follow us on a range of social media. And, of course, while all of our content's freely available, we'd welcome any financial contribution you can make. Even just a dollar a month will help to allow us to continue to bring you and even expand our coverage from across the globe. Just look under the subscribers, just under the masthead. And don't forget to grab your tickets for the coming Friday night event in Geelong, an evening with John Sikkema, founder of Halftime Australia, who'll be talking about his own journey of transformation and how all those in business can find new direction and new purpose in life. Check the site for details. I hope to see you there. I'm David Adams, the editor of Site Magazine, and that was The Week That Was.